Good evening, everyone. This is Lou Caraboli, and here we are again with the Divided Kingdom. And I thought we'd start out with a little article from the Gateway Pundit. We've talked a lot about the COVID vaccine, so-called vaccine. We wrote a book about it, and if you'd like a copy of that book, that's still available. I'll give the address in a few minutes. Well, now things are beginning to come out. They have for a while now, of the unconstitutional actions of all too many governments, government agencies, government spokespersons, and so on, concerning the mandates, forcing people to get the shots, or else be fired. That's what happened to the military. Now, finally, we have this article from the Gateway Pundit entitled Federal Judge Greenlights CIA Firing of Biden-Era Doctor Who Pushed Mandatory COVID Vaccines on Military Personnel. And this is by Jim Hoft, May 10th, 2025. And it reads, another deep state bureaucrat is shown the door, and this time it's the architect of the Pentagon's infamous jab genocide mandate. That's the title, Jab Genocide Mandate. A federal judge has ruled that the Central Intelligence Agency may proceed with the termination of Dr. Terry Adarim, a senior health official who spearheaded the Biden administration's unconstitutional COVID-19 vaccine mandate on U.S. military personnel. Dr. Adarim, a longtime Democrat loyalist and radical health bureaucrat, is perhaps best known for a controversial 2021 memo that forced service members to either submit to an experimental COVID-19 shot or be dishonorably discharged, many without benefits and with their careers in ruin. Appointed by Joe Biden to serve as the acting Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, Adarim authorized the coercive use of an emergency use authorization, EUA, vaccine, falsely labeling it, quote, interchangeable, unquote, with the fully FDA-approved Comirnaty shot, which was largely unavailable to troops. The result? Tens of thousands of servicemen and women punished, discharged, or sidelined, all for refusing a gene therapy product they were never legally obligated to take. After fleeing the Department of Defense, Adarim quietly took a new position at the CIA in December as director of its Center for Global Health Services. Her tenure didn't last long. President Donald Trump, following a flood of reports from whistleblowers and military families, took swift action to have her fired in April. And those of you who have been listening for a while know that my late wife, Elizabeth, spearheaded this action to bring out the truth with my help of the so-called COVID vaccines that were supposedly effective and safe. They were neither. They weren't very effective. I know numerous people personally that got COVID in spite of having the shot, sometimes two or three shots. They still got COVID, and in some cases, a severe case of it. And we have been hearing about side effects since our book came out, since before our book came out. And they just keep showing up in the news, the side effects, the myocarditis, the pericarditis, the blood clots, all kinds of ill effects from these so-called vaccines. Now, our book has been out a while because Elizabeth will have been deceased for, let me stop and think now, 3 months this Friday. If you'd like a copy of the book, as it has always been, we will be glad to send it to you at no cost. If you can help us out a little bit with the postage, that would be a great help. And all you have to do is say, please send me your book. I have, I think, about 15 copies left. Can always order more if there's enough demand. Just write to me, Lou Caraboli, and you spell that C-A-B, as in Victor, E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, just like the Bethlehem in the Bible, Bethlehem, Maryland, 216-0609. And I'll give that later in the show. And we can always use a few donations. I had three or four very helpful ones come in all at once today. They seem to come in clumps. So thank you for those who sent them. I'm going to try and get some thank you notes out in the next day or two, but I'll thank you right over the airwaves right now. So you can get that book just by writing to us. You can see our website. I need to update some things on it, but it's still a good website that has all the times you can hear us, times and places. Just go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com. And again, if you would like to look at that, this is a short article. I think I have everything that was on the website. It's at The Gateway Pundit by Jim Hoft, May 10th, and the title was Federal Judge Greenlights CIA Firing of Biden-Era Doctor Who Pushed Mandatory COVID Vaccines on Military Personnel. It seems to me, and I don't have the page right in front of me, but it seems to me that President Trump has given an order that the military who were dismissed because of this illicit mandate should be reinstated. And I certainly hope that's the case. Next, we have from LifeSite News. Very interesting article on a whole different topic. The University of Colorado cancels sex ed summer camp for kids after massive backlash. And this was by Emily Mangiaracina. Again, LifeSite News, May 7th of 2025. The University of Colorado Boulder recently canceled its planned sex ed summer camp for children as young as 10 after fierce backlash from prominent conservative commentators. The free camp, which was to be held in partnership with an abortion facility called Boulder Valley Health Center, planned to discuss, quote, everything related to sex, bodies, sexuality, sexy feelings, media, power, and justice, unquote, as well as, quote, bodies beyond the binary, pleasure in all sorts of ways, and self-love, according to a flyer posted online. According to Boulder Reporting Lab, media outlets and groups including Libs of TikTok, Steve Bannon's War Room, The Daily Caller, Newsmax, and Moms for Liberty called for the camp to be shut down after news of the camp made the rounds online, triggering outrage and disgust from many social media users. Newsmax host Todd Starnes even said his employer had, quote, reached out to the Department of Government Efficiency and the DOJ, unquote, adding in a video posted to Instagram, children are not safe in Boulder, Colorado. In an Instagram video jointly posted by Students for Life, pro-life advocate Christine Yergin, and she spells her name Y-E-A-R-G-I-N, slammed the camp as, quote, perverted, unquote. She went on to say, anyone who goes along with this should be immediately arrested. I have been telling you for years that the abortion industry has an agenda to sexualize your children, but also to become the expert in your child's life. And that is exactly what this is, she continued. Christian commentator Shane Winnings, who posted a 30-minute expose at the camp, said he was so disgusted at the fact that the camp suggested it was teaching masturbation that he, quote, wanted to fly there for the orientation and just yell at them, all on camera, unquote. His worst condemnation was for the parents who planned to send their children to the camp. Shame on you, chided Winnings, warning that, as Jesus Christ says in Scripture, it is better that someone die rather than cause a child to fall into sin. Critics also denounced the camp for promoting LGBT ideology, including the idea that one need not identify with their biological sex, but with a so-called gender outside the binary. Quote, they are trying to sexualize the next generation, and not even normally sexualize them, but into all of these insanely idiotic fringe groups, LGBTQIAMS13 acronyms. It's ridiculous, grip to winnings. Boulder Valley Health Center, the abortion clinic, recently announced the cancellation of the camp due to, quote, safety concerns, unquote. And they went on to say, the camp aimed to provide age-appropriate sex education to prevent unwanted pregnancies and emphasize the importance of sexual health for overall well-being. Any extrapolation about the camp's intentions is incorrect, stated the notice. Apparently, in response to accusations that the camp intended to groom children. Well, that's a big one. Once again, that was from LifeSite News. University of Colorado cancels sex ed summer camp for kids after massive backlash. And the date, if you want to look that up, was May 7th of this year, 2025. All right, a different topic now. From Fox News, Texas pushes back against foreign land grab with, quote, strongest bill of the nation, unquote, against China, Iran, Russia. Again, this is by Fox News, by Jasmine Baer, I guess you pronounce the name, B-A-E-H-R, published May 9th, 2025. Texas lawmakers are charging ahead with what they call the nation's strongest legislative effort yet to block hostile foreign powers from purchasing land in the Lone Star State. Championed by Republican State Representative Cole Hefner and State Senator Lois Kalkhorst, Senate Bill 17, SB 17, is designed to stop governments and entities tied to countries like China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia from gaining a foothold on Texas soil. In an exclusive interview with Fox News Digital, Hefner described SB 17 as model legislation aimed at shutting down land purchases that pose a national security threat. Hefner said, quote, this bill is about actions and affiliations, not race, not nationality. If you're acting on behalf of a hostile foreign adversary, we're going to take that land back. The bill is in direct response to real-world events. Hefner cited the 2021 case of a retired Chinese general acquiring over 140,000 acres near Laughlin Air Force Base. And here's another quote by Mr. Hefner. We've also seen the attempt of foreign actors or hostile foreign adversaries to buy land close to food processing plants. And it's just something that we have found. The more we dig into it, the more we find that there's a lot of things we don't know and a lot of vulnerabilities that are out there, unquote. The bill prohibits entities and individuals affiliated with governments designated as national security threats based on the U.S. Director of National Intelligence's annual assessments from purchasing real estate if those purchases pose risks to public health or safety. The law empowers the State Attorney General to investigate, block, and even reverse such land deals through court-ordered receivership. The bill gives the Attorney General investigative powers and authority to appoint receivers to manage or sell properties acquired in violation of the law. Hefner pushed back hard on critics who claim the bill is xenophobic. Quote, this has nothing to do with skin color or ethnicity, he said. It's about protecting Texans and Americans from foreign espionage and influence, unquote. He also stressed that SB 17 should not be seen as a partisan move. It shouldn't be a partisan issue. This is about national security. This is about keeping our citizens safe, said Hefner. It's not about Republican or Democrat. It's not liberal or conservative. It's just taking care of our people. And Hefner went on to say, I believe that the number one responsibility of the government is to make sure that people can live free and safe in their state, unquote. And the bill, SB 17, is set to take effect September 1st. Hefner said he hopes the legislation sparks a nationwide effort. We need to wake up, he said. This is about securing the homeland, not playing politics. And that, again, was from Fox News. and written by Jasmine Baer, May 9th, 2025. The title was Texas Pushes Back Against Foreign Land Grab with Strongest Bill in the Nation Against China, Iran, Russia. And I think at least one other state, it seems to me that South Dakota was either proposing or actually enacting a similar bill, or possibly an action by the governor. All right, now we'll move on to a short article from MSN.com. MSN.com. Patriot Act repeal bill puts controversial law in the crosshairs. Quote, let's end the abuse, unquote. Again, from MSN.com, story by Alex Nitzberg, May 9th, 2025. Representative Anna Paulina Luna, Republican of Florida, has introduced a one-page bill to repeal the controversial Patriot Act, which was passed on the heels of the horrific September 11, 2001 terror attacks. The text of the measure, dubbed the American Privacy Restoration Act, reads, quote, the U.S. Patriot Act is repealed and each provision of law amended by such act is amended to read as such provision read on October 25th, 2001, unquote. In a post on X, Ms. Luna thanked Representative Eric Burleson, Republican of Missouri, for co-sponsoring the bill. She declared, quote, let's end the abuse, in the Post. I don't know if that's the Washington Post. It doesn't actually say. Representative Thomas Massey, Republican of Kentucky, who has previously pushed bills involving repealing the Patriot Act, pointed out in a post on X last week that just three Republicans voted against passing it in October 2001. One of them was former Representative Ron Paul, father of Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. Massey wrote, quote, abuse of the Patriot Act over time revealed they were justified. Imagine the pressure they were under just 1 month after 9/11. I'm sure they were called every name in the book, unquote. So we'll see how that develops. Now we'll move on to the globalists. This is back to LifeSite News from May 8th, 2025. Globalists who proclaim existential threats to justify tyranny are the real threats we face. And the subtitle says our ruling class tells us we face numerous existential threats. That's on purpose, because it's much easier to push someone over the edge when they are already standing next to it. And this is by Thomas Buckley, again May 8th, coming originally from a website or magazine called The Point. Climate change is an existential threat. Misinformation is an existential threat. Inequality is an existential threat. The next pandemic is an existential threat. Our democracy is facing existential threat, and everyone must be prepared for each of them and prepared to do anything to stop them. That's the current line, at least. The line that is driving global society at all levels just up to the edge of sanity and cohesion. And that's on purpose, because it's much easier to push someone over the edge when they are already standing on it. Each of these false threats are being intentionally inflicted, becoming commodities, I'll make that comorbidities, on an already weakening body politic, making it even more vulnerable to its destruction and eventual death. Being told you are going to die is devastating. Being told you and your family are going to die is monumentally awful. Being told everyone is going to die is numbing. It creates a state of utter helplessness, a state in which you are far more pliant. Your situational awareness dims. Your flight or fight sense slows, and you just stand and stare until someone pulls you the arm around your shoulders and leads you away. And those invoking that dread are waiting nearby to do just that, take society by the shoulder, offer it comfort in the form of entertainment, medication, and basic sustenance and laid it away. Each of the threats is aimed directly at the first principle of Western society, the primacy of the individual. All the threats, all of the communitarianism being foisted upon the culture, including the claim that it is what group a person is in, not the person himself, that is the most important defining human characteristic, all have the same underlying message, the elimination of the idea that society is made up of discrete individuals with personal agency. And from not acknowledging individual agency is not permitting it at all in a very short step. That is the actual existential threat of the false existential threats now bouncing around the globe, clattering into people and families and societies and cultures, and intentionally causing so much chaos and disruption that just standing in one place is not necessarily an irrational decision. Of course, none of the current coming catastrophes are existential threats. They really aren't threats at all. But the vanguard of the global socialist status has made sure the public thinks they are. That is, they are threats under penalty of ostracization, job loss, and censorship. Besides not being actual threats, they cannot even remotely be described as an existential threat. An existential threat is in part defined as a threat to the very existence of a thing or a system. It's terminal, global, and transgenerational. It is not transitory, it's not political, it's not determined by the people making the claim. To be an existential threat, something must be real and unprecedented and permanent. But the term, which seems to be important sounding because it actually is, can be misused by people and groups to heighten the impact of their statement, no matter what it may be, because the actual definition is either not widely known or purposefully ignored by the people using it and the media that reports what they are claiming. This opens the door to anything being described as such a threat. There is also the issue of the origin of the term. Existential philosophers focused on subjective ideas of thought and emotion and action as they relate to existence, while the more concrete threats described when the term is used as putatively real and specific. That is an additional misleading element of the use of the term. To put it in other words, the term is used to apply a thin veneer of intellectual certainty to the threat it is claiming actually exists. Despite the protestations of the greenocracy, the real global existential threat is not fossil fuel, or proper food, or basic human mobility, or all of the other aspects of the material economy. The real threat is from the ethereal economy of government agencies, civil society actors, non-governmental organizations, foundations and academia, all aided by the information cabal. Together, they do, in fact, currently have the power to foist something upon civilization that truly is transgenerational, global, and terminal. And the never-ending pretense of emergency is a powerful tool in accomplishing that goal. I'm going to skip down, just give a couple highlights here. What is being offered in a society, or is a society, in which no one can fail? But a society in which no one can fail is also a society in which no one can succeed, especially to the point where they can threaten the existing power structure. And it is that threat which is an existential threat to that spider web of profitable tyranny that is being targeted by the global fear noise. There's a little bit more, but you get the general idea of what the author is trying to say. Again, that was entitled Globalists Who Proclaim Existential Threats to Justify Tyranny Are the Real Threats We Face. LifeSite News, Thomas Buckley, May 8th, 2025. Okay, here's an interesting little article. It has a biblical application. This was from Fox News by Andrea Margolis, May 10th, 2025. Archaeologists uncover ancient, quote, factory, unquote, used to produce coveted purple dye mentioned in the Bible. Officials with the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. created an animated video showcasing the ancient site where the Megiddo mosaic would have been found in Israel. And that mosaic is on display for the first time since being found. In an article recently published in the journal PLOS-1, historians announced the discovery of Tel Shikmona, or Shikmona, I guess it would be, S-H-I-Q-M-O-N-A, an archaeological mound south of the Israeli city of Haifa. The situation is located on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Tel Shikmona, or Shikmona, the article's authors say, quote, can unequivocally be identified as a specialized facility for large-scale and long-term production of the lucrative purple dye, unquote. The site dates back as early as 1100 BC, during the Iron Age. In biblical terms, the site predated the reigns of King Solomon and David by over a century, and likely became more sophisticated over time. And here we have another quote. It is the only site in the Near East, or around the Mediterranean, indeed in the entire world, where a sequence of purple dye workshops has been excavated, and which has clear evidence for large-scale, sustained manufacture of purple dye, and dyeing in a specialized facility for half a millennium during the Iron Age, the article describes. The dye, which was harvested by crushing the shells of certain mollusks, was highly valued in antiquity and mentioned in the Bible several times. One biblical mention of purple dye occurs in Acts 16:14, which describes a female merchant. And here's a quote from Acts. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. The verse reads, and it goes on, she was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And then in Mark 15:17, it says, Jesus was dressed in a purple cloth. This is when he was being beaten by the soldiers, just before his crucifixion. Jesus was dressed in purple cloth by his captors in order to humiliate him, as the color was associated with royalty. And here's the actual quote. The verse says, quote, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, unquote. At Tel Shikmona, researchers used a variety of techniques, including chemical and mineralogical analyses, to understand each artifact that was uncovered. In an interview with New Scientist, archaeologist Golan Shalvi, S-H-A-L-V-I, said the mollusks would secrete a greenish fluid when crushed, and the fluid would turn purple when oxidized. And again, there are more details. If you really want to read that, go to Fox News for May 10th and look for the article by Andrea Margolis entitled Archaeologists Uncover Ancient Factory Used to Produce Coveted Purple Dye, mentioned in the Bible. All right, moving on now. We've heard about some troubles at various airports and a bad crash in Washington, D.C., in the Potomac, as I recall. This article refers to some hypothesizing of why that's been happening. It's from Fox News. The title, Biden Administration Prioritized Social Engineering, that's in quotes, social engineering over air traffic safety, key aviation Republican says. This is by Elizabeth Alkind of Fox News, May 7th, 2025. The chairman of the House Aviation Safety Caucus is accusing the former Biden administration of helping fuel the current air traffic control, ATC, crisis by its choice to fund progressive diversity initiatives instead of modernizing the aging system. Representative Nick Langworthy, Republican of New York, told Fox News Digital that the former administration's marquee bill, the bipartisan infrastructure bill, was among several, quote, missed opportunities, unquote, to fund a revamp of the ATC system. And Langworthy went on to say, that was before I came to Congress. But, you know, you had just mistaken priorities in that. All this DEI policy, DEI staffing, that all got baked into the cake. They could have taken that money and spent it on real modernization of what is critical infrastructure in this country. And he went on to say, we had the longest period of incident-free aviation in this country's history, where we didn't have a commercial air crash from the time the crash happened in Buffalo in my district back in 2009 to just this year, and what happened at Ronald Reagan Airport. And it was avoidable, unquote, he said. And that was where, if I'm not mistaken, a jet taking off and a helicopter crashed into each other, or the jet into the helicopter, and quite a number of people were killed. Reading on now, it comes after a blackout at Newark Liberty International Airport reportedly caused a roughly 90-second outage to its air traffic control screens. And earlier this year, a military helicopter collided with a passenger plane coming from Wichita, Kansas, in a deadly incident just off the shores of the nation's capital. That's the one I was referring to, where I think the plane plunged into the Potomac. Langworthy clarified that he does not believe DEI policies necessarily directly hit ATC. He said, it's what they spent the money on. I mean, you know, there's infrastructure projects, ones in my backyard, where they want to bury and tunnel over our main artery in the town because it's going to reunite a community somehow. Aviation is infrastructure. This is the continuation of his quote. Aviation is infrastructure. It's transportation. It should have been spent then. Instead, they did all this social engineering with money and didn't focus on what has been a glaring problem for the federal government for many years, modernizing our aviation infrastructure, unquote. Part of the bipartisan infrastructure bill allocated $25 billion over 5 years to the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, specifically for modernization. But lawmakers now believe that was not enough. Republicans' plans for President Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Bill via the budget reconciliation process include $12 billion for air traffic control modernization. Specifically, during visits with air traffic controllers in his own upstate New York district, Langworthy said the message was simple but critical. We need more bodies. We should be promoting this to young people that want to work in career service in the government. And it comes with a very competitive salary, Langworthy stated. But he went on, it's a tough job with lots of hours, and you know there's always going to be stress involved. But we have to prioritize it and not just take it for granted. Langworthy said he would help push as much funding as needed to meet the issue. And I'll stop there because that, you know, are the main highlights of the article. And I've seen pictures showing that a lot of the airports in this country are far behind airports in other lands. They are outmoded. They are overcrowded. The money just hasn't been there to modernize a lot of these airports. All right, now, we haven't talked a great deal in many years about 9/11. And it comes up every year on the anniversary date, September 11th. Now, let's see, it will be 24 years. So it'll be a quarter of a century next year. And to this day, the explanations given by the federal government, even the report put out by the committee or commission to investigate the 9/11 tragedies, those government reports just don't add up. why didn't the Jets at least intercept the hijacked planes going to the Pentagon? Was the plane shot down in Shanksville? What happened? Why were four different planes hijacked and then the devastation done when there should have been at least, for the last two, the Pentagon and Shanksville, there should have been an easy interception? What was really going on? There's been a cover-up all these years. You just can't doubt that. Maybe we would find out that the official explanation has some truth to it, although I doubt it. From what I've read, there are just too many glaring things. There's the idea of the molten steel. As I recall, weeks after, in the foundation of the World Trade Center towers that collapsed, where did that come from? The crashed airplanes would not have generated with just hydrocarbon fires that kind of molten steel that would last for days and days and days. Was it thermite or such as a chemical used that generates a tremendous heat? Were they controlled demolitions? So many, many things that just beg for an answer. Why was all the steel carted off, well, most of it anyway, so that tests couldn't be done? They seemed in an awful hurry to get rid of everything. Why? So many questions unanswered. And now we have a little article from the WJLA.com. If I'm not mistaken, that's a Washington, D.C. TV station. And this is by Jessica James, Monday, April the 28th, 2025. The title, 9/11 Families Demand Saudi Government Extradite Man Involved in Terrorist Attacks. And again, this is Monday, April 28th, 2025. Washington, D.C. This is Washington, D.C., and this is 7, meaning Channel 7 News. A group called 9/11 Justice, which is made up of families of the victims of the September 11th terrorist attacks, held a press conference at FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. on Monday morning, where they demanded the Saudi government extradite a man for his role in helping carry out the deadly terrorist attack. It comes after 60 Minutes released a bombshell report on evidence first obtained by the British government implicating one Omar El-Bayoumi. And this man surveilled the U.S. Capitol and assisted two hijackers in the lead-up to the attacks. We may have read some of this last week or the week before, but it's worth repeating because this is such a vital story. If they can cover up 9/11, what else are they covering up? Here it is, almost a quarter century later. And we could go on and on and on with cover-ups. John F. Kennedy. The murder of John F. Kennedy. The murder of Robert Kennedy. The murder of Martin Luther King Jr. The attempted killing of George Wallace, who was running for president in 1968. All of those, they say, oh, they were just a single deranged individual. Well, that might have flown as a good excuse for a year or two. But very quickly after John Kennedy's death, doubts began to arise. And if time permits, I'll go over a few of those. Why is it important that these cover-ups be unmasked? After all, it's 24 years after 9/11. Should we just let it slide? Should we just say, well, we can't do anything about it. It's history. It's over and done with. Well, my answer to that is it's false history. If we let them get away with this, what else will they get away with in the future? It's not just history. It's the influence that this will have on the future. So reading on, this is a quote. Our family members are dead. My dad is dead. Every one of these loved ones, family members, are dead. 3,000 Americans died on 9/11, and Omar El-Bayoumi walks free in the streets of Saudi Arabia, living his best life, said 9/11 Justice President Brett Eagleson during the press conference. The group claims the FBI was given this evidence, but that it remained buried. This is a quote. It remained buried for more than 20 years. Justice 9/11, and that's the name of the group, also demanded that new FBI leadership explain why past officials failed to act on this information. And here's a quote from Eagleson as well. The FBI has an opportunity to turn the page, and we're calling on Director Patel, we're calling on Pam Bondi, we're calling on Tulsi Gabbard to stand with these families. Do what's right. We're calling on Vice President Vance, and we're calling on President Trump to bring justice and closure and bring this man to justice. We deserve it. America deserves it. Please help us, said Eagleson. President Trump is allegedly supposed to visit Saudi Arabia sometime in May, according to a report by Axios. But it's unclear what his exact plans will be and what he will discuss with Saudi leaders. And as we know, almost all of the hijackers came from Saudi Arabia. And yet, members of Osama bin Laden's family were allowed to leave at a time when all American flights were grounded. They were allowed to fly back to Saudi Arabia. They weren't questioned. They weren't detained in any way. What was going on then? Americans should demand justice, just as they should demand justice for John F. Kennedy, or at least the truth. It's probably far too late now, 64 years later, or soon 64 years later, to get real justice for John F. Kennedy and the American people, but at least we'd get the truth. And maybe that would make perpetrators think twice about the future. That's the value in unmasking some of these schemes and plots and conspiracies. You know, the government loves the word conspiracy theory. Not to mention the fact that their version of 9/11 is a conspiracy theory. It says all these Arabs conspired and plotted to bring down the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and they were allegedly trying to bring down the U.S. Capitol building or the White House. But the actions in Shanksville, whatever they may have been, prevented that. Well, we could go on and on, but you get the idea. In my mind, you can't let these things just go on without taking some kind of action, without at least saying, we don't believe you. We think you're lying to us, and you better not keep this up. You better not lie about future things, because we're going to pursue everything until we find out the whole truth. All right. Now we got some little short articles, thanks to one of our helpers who often chips in, sends us good stuff, Brother Bruce of American Prophecy. Here's one we should all, those of us who are a little bit older, but young people too, should pay attention to this. Your Social Security card will soon be available digitally. And this came from endtimeheadlines.org. endtimeheadlines.org. May 3rd, 2025. And I don't see an author on this. The Social Security Administration, SSA, announced on Friday the forthcoming availability of a digital alternative to the traditional Social Security card, set to be launched in early summer. This new feature will enable all individuals with a Social Security, that is a My Social Security account, whether applicants or beneficiaries, to access and view that Social Security number online. According to USA Today, this initiative follows the agency's recent decision to revise plans to reduce over-the-phone services and clarify which account holders are required to verify their identity in person. Well, I always thought something. My Social Security card goes back to the days when I was probably in my late teens with my first job. I imagine I would have to have had a Social Security card at that time, probably dates 18 at the latest. On that card, it seems to me, and I'll have to dig it out and check on this, I think it says this card is not to be used for identification. Well, that didn't last too long, did it? Every time you apply for a bank account or anything else, they want your Social Security number. Now, maybe technically you don't show them the actual card, you just write down the number. Maybe that's how they get away with it. But it seems to me that that has violated the original intent. These cards were not identification cards. Well, probably can't fight the government on that or a lot of other things. But it does seem a little questionable. I've seen all kinds of things on the internet about not getting a Social Security check or direct deposit if you don't do such and such. Well, I'll soon find out about that. I haven't really paid attention. I thought if it was anything important, they would have at least have had the courtesy to tell me directly from the Social Security agency. Although maybe I'm being too gullible about that. I'll soon find out. Well, here's something that appeared May 1st, 2025. And this appeared from, oh, and I guess I should say, again, the one I just read about the Social Security, that was from a website called End Time Headlines. Not Times, just Time, singular. EndTimeHeadlines.org, May 3rd, 2025. Entitled, Your Social Security Card Will Soon Be Available Digitally. Now, the new one, new article, scientists working on mRNA shots for every imaginable infectious disease, an attorney says. This is May 1st, 2025, by Emily Mangiaracina. And the source here is Infowars.com, but it gives credit to LifeSite News, which I think was the original source. And the short summary says, a Nobel Prize-winning researcher who contributed to mRNA technology has said the gene therapy platform is being explored for, quote, every imaginable infectious disease, unquote, raising health concerns due to the dangers of mRNA shots. Well, we keep hearing all kinds of things about side effects, mostly having to do with the heart. We heard a lot a while back about blood clots. We've heard about heart inflammation, myocarditis, sudden death by certain people who have gotten the shots, particularly the boosters. And, of course, we haven't heard much of anything from the government about that. But at least some actions are being taken, such as the first article I read about the person being fired for foisting, and I think that's the right word, foisting the shots on the American military, not giving them a choice. When the shots were inadequately tested, they were not true vaccines at all, in the original sense of the word. They changed the definition to try and make it fit. They did not prevent the disease in all cases, or even the majority, necessarily. They were quickly put out, much faster than the average vaccine, just so they could brag about it and make big, big, big money. And that's what the name of the game was, of course, money. How much bribery was involved, we'll never know. Or at least doesn't look like we'll know. All right, well, now, another one. Mark Carney brags government will forcibly vaccinate Canadians with airborne mRNA. Now, this is hard to believe, and you may want to go to the website and check it out in more detail. This is on the peoplesvoice.tv, and of course Mark Carney is the Canadian government head. And this appeared May 1st, 2025, by Sean Adel-Tabatabai, and I hope to pronouncing the fellow's name right. That's a name that always stumps me a little bit. It says, Mark Carney has boasted that the Canadian government will forcefully vaccinate citizens with an airborne mRNA COVID vaccine now advancing to phase two clinical trials. This government-funded inhaled vaccine developed using abortion-tainted fetal cell lines signals an aggressive push toward non-consensus immunization. Now, that's all I have on that article, just a brief summary. Those of you that want to investigate that in more detail and decide if it's a credible claim can go to the People's Voice. Make sure you put .tv, not .com. The People's Voice .tv, and no punctuation marks, no apostrophes there. The People's Voice .tv, May 1st, 2025. And look for the article entitled, Mark Carney Brags, Government Will Forcefully Vaccinate Canadians with Airborne mRNA. Well, if that happens, none of us will have a choice, will we? If we happen to be in the pathway of those airborne vaccines, we're going to get it whether we like it or not. I don't particularly like that idea myself. Now, how that's going to be done, I don't know. I don't believe it's physically possible to make enough vaccine to spray it on every man, woman, and child in this country. Perhaps they will just do it on the big cities. If so, I'm safe, because I live out in the country. They're probably not going to bother out here, at least not with the first batches. But still, that's a troubling article. We should all be troubled by that. Moving on now. Now they are warning that tuberculosis could be America's next outbreak. This is from endtimeheadlines.org once again. endtimeheadlines.org, April 30th, 2025. Tuberculosis, TB, long overshadowed by modern pandemics like COVID-19, remains the world's deadliest infectious disease. Despite decades of global efforts to control it, TB killed an estimated 1.3 million people in 2022, according to the World Health Organization, the WHO. More than HIV/AIDS and malaria. Now health experts warn that the United States may be facing a potential resurgence of this ancient killer. Once again, that's just the headline. If you want more information, go to endtimeheadlines.org. Remember, there's no S in the middle. endtimeheadline.org. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. endtimeheadlines. That does have an S at the end. .org. Look for the April 30th article. Now they are warning that tuberculosis could be America's next outbreak. Here's another headline. Millions of bees dropped dead across the United Kingdom as sun-blocking chemtrails program goes live. Well, that's a scary thing. I'm looking out the window right now. It's a little bit on the cloudy side. I sure hope those are just natural clouds. And this was, as I said, I don't know if I said it or not, April 29th, 2025, by Baxter Dimitri, the peoplesvoice.tv. Something unnatural is unfolding in Britain's skies, and it's killing the planet's most essential creatures. A mass die-off of bees, essential pollinators critical to life on Earth, is sweeping across the UK just as the government formally announced its controversial plan to block the sun to, quote, fight climate change, unquote. And this is, it doesn't say it on that part, but it is in the title. This is chemtrails. We've been talking about those for years and years, too. Elizabeth's distant relative, Al Cuppet, brought those to our attention for the first time a good many years ago. I would say maybe way back around 2003. Might have been before that. And now it's coming out in the open. I believe I read an article about that in more detail some time back, maybe a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure the exact time frame. But again, that's in the peoplesvoice.tv, April 29th. Millions of bees dropped dead across the UK. Well, we have time, I think, for one more, maybe two. Huge power outage strikes Spain, Portugal, and France. Entire cities plunged into blackouts. Transport networks shut down, and internet is cut off in scenes of mayhem. This was from the dailymail.co.uk, British publication, I believe, by Alina Salvoni and James Reynolds, April 28th. And it says Spain and Portugal have been hit by widespread blackouts, with millions plunged into darkness amid scenes of mayhem across major European cities. The power cuts come just days after Spain's power grid ran entirely on renewable energy. Oh-ho! Including wind, solar, and hydropower for a whole day for the first time on April 16th. Spanish officials are urgently investigating the cause of the outages and have said they are looking into the possibility of the blackouts being triggered by a devastating cyber attack. Well, perhaps so. Again, that was from dailymail.co.uk. Huge power outage strikes Spain, etc. If you want to look that up, it was April 28th, 2025. Got time for just a little bit more? Major U.S. bank used by 200 million Americans struck by nationwide outage. Lots of power failures here. April 29th, 2025. Citibank. Ah, that's a familiar one. I've got a couple accounts with them. Citibank, used by 200 million Americans, of which I'm one, has been struck by a nationwide outage. The bank's website shows an error message. Quote, we've encountered an issue and are working to fix the issue, unquote. According to the Daily Mail, the incident, which began early in the morning, disrupted online banking platforms, mobile apps, and even some in-branch services. Reports began to surface on social media around 7 a.m. Eastern Time, with the users expressing frustration over failed login attempts, missing balances, and transaction delays. Well, Citibank is a big outfit. And something like that can affect an awful lot of people. Well, again, that was April 29th, a major U.S. bank used by 200 million Americans, struck by nationwide outage that appeared in endtimeheadlines.org. Well, our time has run out. If you want to ask for our book or just make a contribution or just tell us how we're doing, write to Luke Haverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Thank you for listening and tune in again next week.